take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity provided for us to gather together with the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. It provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand your plan for man and how it is that you dealt with the fall and defeated Satan once and for all through Jesus Christ. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this thanking in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our study of Romans, verse by verse, last time we finished verse 25 of chapter 3, expanded translation, whom the God, remember we noted manatic use of the noun, theos, because it has the article in front of it, in this case referencing the Father, because of the fact that Christ is the last two words in the previous verse in the context. And of course there's no verse breakdowns in the original. It just runs along. God the Father has publicly displayed the propitiation or mercy seat through faith in his blood. This goes back to the Old Testament, especially Israel, with the Holy of Holies and the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, where the two angels are looking down, and once a year on the Day of Atonement, the blood of the goat was sprinkled on that location, pointing to the reality of the work of Jesus on the cross that is referred to by the word blood. Then, of course, since in our parenthesis here, we have Jesus' spiritual death on the cross. Because remember, it was the spiritual death that was the issue, because the condemnation in the garden was dying, you will die. So they died immediately spiritually, which means they were separated from God. And then eventually, because of the fall and the sin nature, it was interjected because of the fall. They physically died. So, but Adam lived 900 years, 930 years. So they lived a long time, and the environment prior to the flood was radically different than it is today. So the radiation levels were high, much lower, and people lived physically longer. So to just demonstrate his righteousness because of the passing over of previously committed sins, because of the delay in judgment of the God, that again, in the dramatic sense, God the Father, specific again, the two concepts, with or without the object, or the I should say the is whether it's monadic or narthous, and it has to do with quality or specificity, uniqueness. So we're speaking of the unique individual here, and both are relevant. I mean, in some places it would be anarthrous, indicating highest quality, because God is both the highest quality, as well as you have the concept of the three personalities, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where the concept of the Trinity comes into view, which is a theological explanation for what the Bible says based on the words. That's all. It's just it's an attempt to explain the process for what it's worth. We see from this that in this verse that God is immutable, so his integrity must be consistent. This consistency demands complete compatibility and interrelationship between his righteousness and justice. See, God is perfect and complete and total clarity. All of his attributes work together in concert. They're in complete accord with each other. And in the case of righteousness and justice, you're actually the definition of, or a superset of that understanding is integrity or holiness. And God is perfect holiness, which means his righteousness and justice are compatible. Now, what we're in the process of explaining in verse 26 gets into is, how does God, who's perfect, reconcile himself to man, who's imperfect, without himself becoming imperfect? That's the conundrum. And that's what the devil thought he was going to get God with. He created the circumstance for the fall. In fact, God permitted it. Of course, God had it planned out from the get-go, but Satan just missed it in his brilliance and arrogance. Arrogant brilliance. But because the Lamb, remember, we see in Revelation that Jesus is referred to as the Lamb. And of course, that goes back to the Old Testament as well. The first offering that was officially presented in the Levitical system was the Passover Lamb. And he represents that. So, the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the earth. So God had this in view from the outset. Before he created the angels, before he created the universe, before he created anything, Jesus going to the work to the cross was in view from God. And the reason for that is that was how he was going to absolutely destroy the devil. Because with what God does in verse 26, the devil is done. He's toasted and consigned. He will be consigned to the lake of fire or the lake of purification whenever God's ready to put him there. So, and until then, we have the opportunity to participate with Jesus as witnesses for the prosecution. That's why we're allowed to continue on the planet. There's more people out there that are going to be saved. There's more people who are going to be saved, who are saved, who are going to advance to maturity. So God's plan continues to advance at this point around the church, which we'll note. There must be no compromise or inconsistency in the function of God's integrity. To avoid compromise and inconsistency, a principle develops that becomes axiomatic. Axiomatic is a law or a rule. It's something that always is the case. So there's certain things that you can synthesize information together and you come up with a rule. That's why they have things like a law of gravity. Well, a law of gravity was determined by people who figured out that every time you let something go, it fell. And every time it happened, it was axiomatic. So now, I mean, you drop something, it's falling. Why? Because the thing is drawn towards the center of the mass of the Earth. Now you get out into space and stuff floats around. But then you get in the gravitational field of some other object and eventually it gets pulled into that. That's why things circle. And that's why everything in the universe that's moving is on an arc. Because there's gravity associated with the various large bodies, stars and the like, that create these arcs. And the motion of the comet or the meteor or whatever it is that's running around out there is affected by all the various gravities it encounters. So that all has to be worked. When we put a spaceship up there, all that's got to be factored in. It's not a small problem. So anyway, so God has all covered. He's got a bigger problem, which he's got to work it all out with all the individuals involved and their volitions, which is what he's done, of course. There's no compromise or inconsistency with God's integrity. To avoid compromise or inconsistency, a principle develops that becomes axiomatic. God's justice can only bless God's righteousness. So that's the channel. That's why we get the concept of grace. And God's grace conveys blessing to things God accepts. And there's certain things that God accepts. Divine establishment is one of them. So there's a relative source of blessing to nations that have divine establishment processes in their country. People, I know there was a question in one of the web pages I browse today. Why are some countries always poor? Well, the reason they don't know that answer to that question is they don't understand God's word. The reason some countries always poor is because they always reject God. That's that simple. They reject God and his plan and his purpose and his policy. So they got a better way, which means they're always going to be poor. They're never, I call them never to be developed countries. They're never going to be developed, which means they're never going to be prosperous. I mean, they're going to have prosperous people, rich people, and they're going to have a bunch of poor people. So they're going to have we're going there. Okay, if you haven't noticed. The United States is becoming one of these never to be developed countries. Well, after we lose everything we have, which we're going to do, because if we keep on the track we're on. So, and that's why all the prosperous countries that have existed primarily, well, exclusively, I'm not going to say primarily, exclusively, are previously either Jewish or Christian nations. End of story. You can go all these other ones that have some modicum of prosperity or appear to, but they still have this divergence in their class system. They have the super rich and the super poor. And 99% of the people are super poor. And the only time you get a middle class is when you get divine establishment. So that's what? Freedom. That's our constitution. Freedom, marriage, family, nationalism. That's it. That's establishment. And so that's how you vote. When you go to the vote poll, you look at the person that stands for freedom, marriage, family, nationalism from God's point of view, not some demonic thing that we got going on now. And that is the guy you vote for, or girl, as the case may be. Freedom, marriage, family, nationalism, and nobody else. And you'll find that there's very few people that qualify. It's pretty simple. So, there's no compromise because God's justice can only bless God's righteousness. Now, this gets us to the secret of 26, which is really the secret of salvation and why God can grace out sinners. How does he do that? Well, first of all, we don't relate to God's righteousness initially. We relate to God's justice initially by grace and faith. See, that's the secret. God imputes righteousness from his justice, and that sets up the protocol. That's how he does it. And that's why the unrighteous are saved, while the righteous may not be saved. Because the unrighteous accepted the imputation of God by believing in Jesus. That was the thing. The so-called righteous are really not righteous from God's perspective. They're humanly righteous. And that's the conundrum. You know, people don't understand why do you have to have Jesus? Why do you have to believe in Jesus? Well, because that's where God solved the problem. That's why, and he says that's the way it's going to be, and so that's the way it's going to be. Or you're going to end up in the lake of perfection, lake of fire, the pur lake, P-U-R. The word is Greek, and the pur means purification. Since all God's blessings originate from his justice, and since God's justice cannot bless sinful mankind apart from his righteousness. It's necessary for God to find a way through grace. Remember, grace is what God does on the basis of his provisions. In this case, through Jesus. God was the one that set this up. He created the situation where Jesus was going to go to the cross and be able to receive the imputation and judgment of the sins of the entire world forever, for the whole time it exists, beginning to end. So he set that up. And it's his provision that permits him then through Jesus to convey righteousness to the sinner. Contrary to what everybody would think. What? That's why the natural man does not understand the things of God. This is not normal. This is upside down logic. See, it's not normal. Because normally righteous people get blessings. But in this case, an unrighteous person got God's righteousness and got blessings. Yeah. Because that's what God had to do to fix it. Okay, so to provide his righteousness so it can become the target for all blessings to mankind, because righteousness demands righteousness and justice demands justice in the deployment of God's integrity towards mankind. So never forget that. The only way anybody gets blessings from God is from the fact they have God's righteousness. And if you don't have that, that's why you have never developed nations. Because they don't have that. They don't believe in Jesus. And so they never have the predicate for a relationship with God. Now, they get kind of blessings. They get tertiary and peripheral blessings. They get blessings that they steal from God's people. A lot of that. I mean, the majority of the world is run by people, is operating on the basis of the blessings that God has directed to his people that are stolen. You know, that's what's happening here to a large extent. The parasites end up getting it. Okay, because God's people aren't too smart sometimes. Most of the time. They're not too smart. And as a result, they don't take advantage of their blessings. And they waste them on stuff, which is what they do, because they're with wrong priorities. So remember this is sinners. Sinners have this. Sinners. Unrighteous people. So their brains aren't too smart. Okay? That means their brains aren't really up to speed with God. Now, there's a way to get there if they choose to do it, but they've got to get Bible class for that to happen. God cannot accept anything less than perfect righteousness, and God cannot bless anything less than perfect righteousness. See, there's your equation. Righteousness and righteousness, justice and justice. This emphasizes the importance of the imputation of God's righteousness to the believer on the basis of faith at the moment of salvation. See, that imputation is where the whole thing starts. And without that imputation, you have nothing. So, believing in Jesus is the opening channel. Without that, nothing. Faith in Christ results in the imputation of God's righteousness that creates instant adjustment to God's justice for salvation. After salvation, the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the continuous persistent learning of doctrinal truth from the communication of one's right pastor is a means of acquiring maturity adjustment to God's justice. So that's where experience matches position. That's what people don't understand. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, that's the first part of this. Now, once you have that, you have the potential to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by consistent, persistent metabolization, learning, listening, learning, and applying doctrine under the ministry of the Spirit. Okay, that's our GASP system, Grace Apparatus for Spiritual Perception. It's still a grace system because God provides all the assets. What are the assets for the advance in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Two, the filling of the Spirit and doctrine. That's it. Those are the assets. They all come from, they're both from God. They're God's word of truth plus the filling of the truth of the Spirit, which is God. And there's a protocol for that. Fellowship with the Spirit by means of acknowledging any known sin. Okay, which we've got plenty of. Because we're experientially unrighteous. But we're saved. So we have God's righteousness. There's your conundrum. That's what the unbeliever can't get. They don't understand that. That makes perfect sense that they can't understand it because it's only spiritually understood. That's why we start with class with being filled with the Spirit. Righteousness is the principle of God's integrity, and justice is the function of God's integrity. God's justice administers what God's righteousness demands. So righteousness and justice work completely and totally together in complete compatibility. They're always in accord. Now you might ask, why does God's righteousness allow it to be imputed to God by God's justice to a sinner? We're going to get to that. That's in verse 26. See, that's where the cross comes in. You see, because the demands of righteousness were met when God's justice judged Jesus for all sin. Okay, that's how it happened. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteous of God through him. That's the answer. This means that God's justice, God cannot bless with us as a recipient has a righteousness that's equivalent to God's righteousness. And God's righteousness has a monopoly of God, so God can only bless those who possess his righteousness. Okay? So that's where it starts. And you get that how? When you believe. That's the first thing that happens. Because that sets it up. Every other detail of your relationship with God comes out of that. Eternal life, there's 40 things or so that come out of that. All those 40 things come on the basis of God's righteousness that's imputed to you the moment you believe in Jesus. No matter how much of a pervert or a criminal you are. Now, you're not supposed to stay that way. You know, you start that way, yeah. But you got to start there because that's where you are. You can't fix the problem unless you put that imputed righteousness in. You see? It's not fixable on your own. Only God can fix it. So you get that potential for the fix the moment you believe in Jesus. In fact, that does fix it experientially, or eternally. You're going to heaven on that basis. The righteousness of God is the basis of going to heaven. Not being a good person. The basis for God's blessing to mankind is the imputation of his righteousness to the believer at the moment of salvation. This means that believer's justification must precede all other blessings from God. Okay? That's the whole thing. That starts the channel. That's where it opens up. Justification only occurs with salvation adjustment to God's justice at the moment of faith in Christ Jesus. Justification is the result of imputed righteousness at the moment we believe in Christ Jesus. See, that's why Jesus is the name that only brings salvation. The only way is Jesus. You can come up with any other name you want to, but you're going to the lake of fire. I don't care how good you are. You might be a good person. Too bad. Lake of fire. When the believer receives the imputed righteousness of God, the justice of God performs a judicial function known as justification, or simply recognizing his own righteousness in the new believer. That is what justification is. God recognizes his righteousness as a righteousness whatever, wherever it's found. So he sees it, he recognizes it because, what? Well, he's it. It's him. This possession of God's righteousness through grace, imputation at salvation, is the prerequisite for all other divine blessings. So all God's blessings come after that fact. I mean, again, as I said, certain individuals can receive blessing through other mechanisms. But in a final analysis, God was the source of it all somehow. That's why we have things called blessing by association. In other words, you're blessed because someone else has prosperity from God. It spills over. It's called, David refers to it as, my cup runs over. Okay? So God's blessing is dumped on us to the point where it overflows. And that's actually what keeps the earth going. Apart from God's blessing accruing to the earth would terminate eventually. I mean, we're going to find that out in the tribulation pretty much. We'll get to the point at the end of the tribulation where the entire human race is going to be at war with itself. And that war, when they're actually at war with the Jews and with itself. And then Jesus comes back and terminates the whole thing, because if they persist in that, the entire human race will be destroyed. That's the final act of the earth. You know, it's directly after that that we have all unbelievers cast into torments, and the devil cast into the abyss, and all the whole thing hangs up. We get the millennium, where Jesus is running the show. And that starts out with believers only. So all the unbelievers are on the planet at that very last second of the tribulation, when the baptism of fire hits, are taken to torments. Okay, for 1,000 years. And then they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. This is why human self-righteousness from law keeping is in the energy of the flesh is never a target for God's blessing. See, people think they can be good enough for God to bless them. They can never be good enough for God's blessing. That's a lie. You cannot be good enough. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Oh, I hope so. Well, you don't understand salvation then. Because if you go into heaven, it's irrevocable. And when you understand it, it can't be removed from you. Because God did it, you didn't. This I hope so thing is crap. It's a lie, and you can never be good enough to go to heaven. It is not, that's not the criteria. The criteria for going to heaven is believing Jesus. Period. That's it. Nothing else. Now, you should become a good person once you have the doctrine. Yeah, that's the objective, potentially, after salvation. But that's not the criteria for getting there. It's never compatible with God's justice, because it's not God's righteousness, it's man's righteousness. See, that's the big lie. That if we're good, that's what religion tries to tell people. If they're good enough, maybe God will let you into heaven. If you're good enough, God will never let you into heaven. If you think that's what you're getting there from. It's about Jesus. Did you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes or no? The answer is no. Never get there. With the imputation of divine righteousness and the resultant justification, all the divine blessings, temporal and eternal, above and beyond the ultimate sanctification, are potential. So the ultimate sanctification is where you get to go to heaven. That's another word for it. It's eternal life. This potential of blessing or advantage from God's integrity is attained through the daily function of the grace apparatus for spiritual perception, DASP, that also creates God's righteousness from maximum doctrine resident in the circulating in the believer's thinking, that makes it available for recall and application under the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit. So that's how, again, like I said earlier, how experience meets position. That paragraph. That's the believer, after salvation, operating in the protocol of the spiritual life. That's where the problem-solving devices come in. That's why that problem-solving device starts with rebound. And the second problem-solving device, filling of the Spirit. Okay? Then faith rest. That's doctrine coming into view. So you go right down the sequence. The problem-solving devices are the mechanics for experiential sanctification. It's how you have your experience match your position. And apart from them, you can't get there from here. You'll just be a loser. You're going to have eternal life, and you'll be in heaven, but you won't have anything to go with it. No rewards. Wood, hay, and straw is what will be your rewards that will be burned at the judgment seat. This is how the believer attains maturity, adjustment to God's justice, that results in a mature relationship with God's integrity. So it goes right back to that. Not only does this status result in blessing and advantages from God's justice, it also creates capacity to enjoy the blessings and advantages from God's justice. See, the big problem with blessings is, especially when they don't come from God directly, is that you receive a blessing, or if the person receives a blessing, that they don't have capacity for. And that destroys them. Because suddenly they will orient, well, they're oriented to the source of that blessing, which isn't, in that case, God. It's coming through some peripheral channel. Government. Whatever. Somebody gives it to them, or they found it somewhere, or they stole it, or whatever. I'm just saying, some way they got this prosperity in a way that was other than direct from God, so they have no connection to recognizing that it came from God. And no capacity to get, but God wouldn't have given it to them. See, God doesn't bless us before we have capacity. He waits. That's why a lot of believers don't have very much prosperity. He's waiting on them to acquire the doctrine to receive the prosperity. And if they don't ever learn that, oh well, they still get basic logistical grace, because they keep them alive to make them change their mind. So, verse 26. So let's read through these two verses in the two languages. We have in the New American Standard, for the demonstration, and then I say is in italics, we see, it's not there. It's inserted by the writers of the New American Standard, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just. We're going to get, there's just. See, that's the word, our dikonos word. It means righteousness. That goes back to God's integrity, either justice or righteousness, depending on which way we're going. And the justifier, so this is a demonstrating of his righteousness by his being just, and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. Ooh, see, there you go. It's the one who justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. There's your predicate. So if we go over here, in the demonstration, there's this is our linear with Nestle Allen Greek, of the righteousness of him, that goes back to God, through the passing over of the having been before sins in the restraint of, that was, that's verse 25, sorry about that. Get down here, 26. Thought I had that. When I changed the font, it changed. There we go. There we are. The demonstration of the righteousness of him, God. It's kind of tracking, isn't it? In the now season, present time, that correlates. In the to be him right, in other words, the justifier, and the making right of the one who has faith from the trust of Jesus. So it goes all the way down through, and it basically tracks very pretty close this time. There's no, it's not like 25, where it was pretty convoluted. So, okay. So if we start out with, for the demonstration, the prepositional phrase pros, if means for, plus the accusative singular from indicus, demonstration, and the definite article o, translated for the demonstration. So we see that here. There's our pros, see, it's translated the, and then our indicus. Okay, that's where the words come from. And the O is the definite article. Then the description of the genitive dikasune. That's where we get God's righteousness. We've got righteousness over here, and we got righteousness here. But remember, when we looked at the word dikasune, and it means more than righteousness. It means integrity. And so it depends on which way it's working, whether it's righteousness or justice. So we're going to get both of them here, because we got three words related to dikaios in this verse. In some cases it's righteousness, some cases it's justice. It depends on the situation and the direction of the flow. So in this case, it's God's righteousness here. So integrity, referring to God's integrity with emphasis on his righteousness. Now remember, righteousness is a positional function of God. Perfect righteousness. Now justice executes as a product of the expectation of that positional reality. So everything, justice just simply, it's kind of like the police department. Righteousness defines the standard, and the police department, the justice, makes everything comply. So that's kind of how you can look at it. It's one thing to make a law. It's another thing to make people comply with it. You can make laws all day long. They do that all the time here, okay? All over. The governments do that in the states. They do that in the towns. They do that in the government, in the national government. But the fact that they made a law is irrelevant. It's just a piece of paper. We find an ad out with our Constitution. It's just a piece of paper. I mean, they're wiping that out down there in Atlanta right now. They stinked all over the Constitution. They put it right down the toilet with what they did down there. Okay, that's what's going on. You're going to find out. That's what's going on once it gets out of there. So, anyways, just because you made a law doesn't mean it's any good. But in case of God made a law, it's perfect. Okay, so justice of God makes it happen. People can't do it. They have a police department, but they aren't omniscient. They don't know what's going on. They're lucky if they catch you. Good luck. Catch me if you can. I mean, that's what's happening today. There's no law that matters because it's catch me if you can time. Okay? So that's why they go into stores and rob them blind. Catch me if you can. And the point is, the bosses, the so-called law people, say, oh, well, now if you got to steal more than $1,000 for it to care. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's real good. But that means a law didn't mean squat. Alright, so that's kind of what it means. So in this case though, it's God. So he does have a justice department that's 100% effective. No one gets away with anything with God. Now, he may set aside the problem for a little while, but eventually that hammer's falling. And when it falls, it's going to be big. You see, that's what's, but you never get away with anything. You know, so don't worry about it. God's got it covered. And no matter who it is, they will be judged. God says, vengeance is mine. So he's got a plan. And his plan is going to be completely and totally effective when he's get ready, when he implements it. So, with the emphasis on his righteousness, because God must provide us with his righteousness before we can receive any blessing from him. So that becomes the predicate. And the last word there in this verse really explains how. Or the last couple words. Faith in Jesus. Yeah. This is why God's justice has to impute God's righteousness to sinners who believe in Jesus on the basis of faith. And you might say faith alone. Grace and faith alone. That's Ephesians 2:8. So our passages for that are 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin, that'd be Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, that'd be us, so that we could become God's righteousness by means of him, Jesus. That be the secret right there. Boom. That's the great exchange. And then we have Romans 4:5. But the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, that would be sinner, unrighteous person, has faith credited to his as righteousness. That's it right there. So sinners, perverts, criminals get God's righteousness the moment they believe. And people say, that's not right. You shouldn't be able to do that. You're not allowed to do that. But God says, hey, I got it covered. And we're going to see that in our verse, how he covered it. And our 2 Corinthians 5:21 passage explains it very succinctly. He judged Jesus for all that perversion and criminality. And judged it while he was being judged. While he was suffering the harm of that in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross, the justice of God was hammering Jesus in his forensic spiritual death on the cross for all those sins that those criminals and perverts that get God's righteousness. In fact, it wasn't just theirs, it was the whole world. So even the ones that don't get God's righteousness because they fail to believe in Jesus, their sins were still judged. So sin's not an issue. To believe in Jesus, sin's not a problem. It's not an issue. I mean, it's a problem, yeah. It's got to be dealt with. God dealt with it. But for you to be saved, your sin isn't the issue. After salvation, it becomes an issue. Because you've got to be in fellowship. But for salvation, no. You can be a knockdown criminal and a pervert and be saved. If you believe in Jesus. That's it. Because that's where this happens. You've got this justification from God on the basis of faith. Not works. And faith means God gave it to you. Why? Because Jesus was hit with that from God. God's justice hit Jesus with it. So he's free to convey it to you. And we're going to see that. See, back to our verse in verse 3. And back, Romans 4:5:21, 3:26. Boom. Alright. Then the possessive genitive singular from the intensive pronoun autos, that's the word his. If we go over here, we'll see it more correctly. There it is, autos. A-O-U-T-U. Of his. Here is a possessive pronoun of his righteousness. So that's relating to the word here of righteousness, the kasune. Then, at this time, in the now. See, that's where he's focusing on the time frame, because that's a critical component in the process here, because of what's happening right now. So we have, is used as a possessive pronoun of his righteousness. Then, in this time, plus the temporal adverb noon, which is now, the now time, there's our word for time right there. Kairos. Time or season, period. Age. That's another synonym. That kind of thing. So we have in the now time is a locative that tells us that this is a decisive and critical point in time. So Paul is emphasizing the fact that we have this opportunity now. That's why he talks about the fact in other verses, and we'll get to it later as we get further down on our book, about today is the day of salvation. Why is that? Because of this. You see, the maximum power of God is being deployed towards us on the basis of Jesus. Right now. And all the differentiations of people are gone here. Everybody is the same. And that's where we started the whole thing, in chapters 1 and 2 of Romans. We had the perverted Gentile, and we had the self-righteous legalistic Jew. And he puts them both together in a bucket, because they're the same in his opinion. Why? Because they all are negative to the Word of God. They have failed. And they're perverts and criminals, even if they don't think they are, in God's perspective. He said, but they're all qualified for this here thing. Believe in Jesus and you're saved. Boom. So the perverted Gentile gets bucketed in here, and the self-righteous Jew gets bucketed in here, and it's all the same, and they all get saved, if they believe. And today, it's no Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free, no male, no female. No distinction. There's no separation. There's no special case. Now, that does not exist in any other time frame. When the church is over, people relate to God in a different way. And it is not universal. So this is a unique period of time of maximum potential for people who want to take advantage of it. That's why our mission is to evangelize. Because it isn't how bad people are, or how perverted they are, or how criminal they are. The issue is that they believe in Jesus. And if they do, there's a chance. I'm not saying it's very big, but there's a chance their volition may be pulled into believing, advancing in the doctrine. And if that happens, they'll actually become better people. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but it might. Without it, it ain't going to happen. I mean, without that, they're not. It's a waste of time. So, I mean, you might as well start somewhere. And it this doesn't limit it in any way. It's anybody. Everybody can be saved. See, that puts a focus on the potential of every individual by faith in Christ. So the locative singular of the definite article is used as a demonstrative pronoun. That's our outhouse. So our expanded translation is at this present time of opportunity. So again, that's just referring to the church. The present time of opportunity refers to the church age. It's an opportunity because this is the time that God's royal family is called out. Now, that's a whole other dimension that we're not going to get into. What that means to be God's royal family and a member of the body of Christ. But it's a huge. I mean, he's calling out the, that word, God's royal family. Know who that is? That's the ruling class of the eternal state. We got a bunch of people down in D.C. that are running the ruling class. They think they run the show. Of course, they don't really, but they are acting like they do, and they're a bunch of perverts and criminals. And they're doing all the wrong things because they've completely rejected Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I mean, our nation used to be aligned with that, but not anymore, especially the ruling class. But these guys are all going to go, well, if they're not saved by faith in Jesus, they're going to the lake of purification. But most of them deserve to go there. The point here is that where this group here is the eternal ruling class. Eternal. Now that's you. Every believer that's listening to this doctrine is part of that. Eternal ruling class. That's a code. That's a secret. That's the same way which is God's royal family. Why? Because of our connection with Jesus. And why is that so important? Well, because he's the one who did it all. He carried the load that got everyone potentially saved. Everyone that wants to be saved can be. Without exception. So it's God's integrity that has been consistent in the past, continues to be consistent after the cross. God's justice that judged all our sins and the sins of all past dispensations before the cross will judge all the sins of future dispensations. So God's demonstration of his perfect integrity continues to the present. See, he remember the concept we have of buckets. God took every sin that had ever been committed in the past, as well as all of the sins that are being committed in the present, and all the sins that we committed in the future, all the way to the end of the millennium, and put them in a bucket. And he dumped them on Jesus on the cross. So the penalty is paid all the way through to the end of the millennium. Every individual can be a beneficiary of this process if they choose to be. Now, the benefit to them is slightly lower in certain other dispensations. It's still huge because you have eternal life. But we're, again, the outside of the church, you're not going to be part of the ruling class. So right now it's special. That he might be just. So this is the demonstration. He's doing this so that he can be shown to be just. See, that's the conundrum here. How does he do this? How does he make perverts and criminals righteous? Well, he's doing it to show, how? He's doing it through Jesus to show that he's just. See, remember the accusation the devil made against him? I'm making this up, really, kind of, because that's the only thing I can think of what happened. The devil made the case that God was unfair. That God condemned him to the lake of fire. Well, purification. He didn't want to go. And he blames God for being a bad person because nobody can be as good as you. You're expecting too much from us. Your creatures can't do that. I'm not good enough. We can't do that. It's impossible. And God says, yeah, show me. And he proceeds too. Because who does he do? Who does he create? Us. He creates us dirt bags. Literally, because Adam was made out of dirt. And he allows the whole thing to fall into the bucket of Satan's condemnation. The whole thing. Every human being condemned. And then he does this. Now, if that isn't in your face, that ain't in your face. Because now what he's got for Satan to deal with is I found a way to uncondemn all these dirtbags that you let me, I let you take over because you ran the show. You still run the show. And I found a way to get all these dirtbags out of that position by faith. And they didn't have to be good. Oh, he must have smoked. Smoke's got to be still coming out of his ears. I can just see it. Because he's toast. He's complete toast. Because God found a way to justify the ungodly. Crazy. Isn't that crazy? I think it's wonderful. It's just so crazy. I just can imagine that situation with the devil. It's going to be fun to watch. We're going to get to see that. It's going to be a riot. So, he's demonstrating his integrity through that. That he might be just, the preposition ice, which is translated that, plus the accusative singular of the definite article, o, for the, so we see it over here, that to be him right, there's our article, the, ice, the, there's our I me, there's our verb coming up. That excuse of singular O, plus the present active of I me, which means to be, that's an R, an is verb, is the Greek idiom for this for the purpose. In other words, this is a reason for this. See, God created the situation. I mean, he really allowed it to go to hell in a handbasket, to use the words. When Adam sinned, and the whole thing went to hell in a handbasket. It did. Because they're all enslaved to the devil. I mean, the majority of the facets related to the deliverance of God relate to sin and the slave market and all the things that happened as a result of the fall. And who's in charge of that? The devil is. So the whole world is a testimony for the devil in their depravity. That we're all a bunch of dirtbags. We can't be good people. We're criminals and perverts. That's just the way we are. And you're expecting us to be good people. And God laughs. Okay, go for it. And he pulls this out. That is so cool. The present tense is a static present that refers to a perpetual situation. So this is the, I mean, this, that was the, God is always righteous. And he created a case in point, that would be the human race, to demonstrate that the allegations of the fallen angels and the devil were completely off base. Completely and totally off base. Because he made it worse. And then God fixed it. Boom. On the cross with Jesus. He fixed it. Making it possible to impute righteousness to the ungodly. Crazy. So again, it ain't about being a sinner. Now, when you're saved, yeah, it's an issue because you're not going to receive any reward after that, but you are going to get to heaven. The active voice tells us that God's integrity produces the action. Plus, the accusative singular of the intensive pronoun autos, of him, is used to emphasize God's identity in terms of God's justice, that is, mankind's point of reference with God. See, the whole thing here is people think they're relating to God's righteousness or God's love. No! I mean, that comes later. But not now. That's not our first point of contact. It says God loved the world in such a manner. What's that mean? Yeah, but people get all screwed up with that in their heads. They think God's love is like our love. No, it's not like our love. I saw something the other day that just blew my mind. I just laughed and laughed. Some Democrat moron in the Senate said it would be nice if the Republicans would learn to be as empathetic as us Democrats. It made me laugh so much. That Democrat wouldn't know what empathy was if it bit him. He's an evil heathen. He has no doctrine. There is no love without doctrine. He's a relative sentimental whippersnapper. He doesn't know squat. He's the devil incarnate. That's what he is. He identified that. Of course, most people say, oh, that sounds so good. These evil Republicans don't like abortion, and they don't like homosexuality, and they don't like transgenderism. They're just condemning people all over the place. Oh, they are. Well, not really, because they're just perverts, like there are people are normally. But we have a solution for that, if we're doctrinal. Divine establishment is my word. We have a solution. Jesus. And then the Democrat says, oh, you can't do that. That's judgmental. Well, you just wasted yourself because you have resolved, you have risk rejected the entire problem, solution to the problem. You got no fix to your problem because you have rejected the one only answer, Jesus. Yeah. And that's exactly where the so-called Republicans, which most of them are barely, I mean, that's the group of people that the establishment people kind of hang out with for the moment, for whatever reason, because that's what's there, I guess. But really, it's the establishment. It has nothing to do with Republicans, because most of them are just like the Democrats. Anyway, that's just kind of interesting. This whole thing, God is demonstrating his justice by letting people get real, real bad. And actually, not that real bad, depraved! And he's demonstrating his righteousness by imputing his righteousness to them so that he can deliver them from it by free. For free! By believing Jesus. And then the Satan's people come up and say, oh, that's just too hard. That's judgmental. Yeah, okay. With the excusative singular of active jachaios, there's our word righteous again, or justice. Again, that's what goes back to our integrity process. Used of God's integrity. In this case, it's used for God's justice, so it's translated in order that he might be just. And that's what we got here pretty much in this. So that he would be just. Okay, that's showing that God is just by demonstrating his righteousness by imputing it to sinners. Wow. Some principles up to this point. In this dispensation, after the cross, God maintains his perfect integrity just as he did in the dispensation of Israel before the cross. Now, untaught people look at the dispensation of Israel, and they say, well, that was the time of God's wrath. He had all these rules for people to do, he took them out, and they're trying to say that today is the time of grace. Nothing's changed, really. The only thing that's changed is the way God's applying the doctrine. Israel had a reason to exist the way they existed, and God had to create a circumstance where his seed of the woman would make it all the way down to Mary. Okay, and so he couldn't let the nation of Israel be toasted by the devil in the process. So he created systems of do's and don'ts for them to hold them together and protect them from themselves. That's what it's all about. That's what the law does. It protects you from yourself. But he still dealt with them with grace because all their sins were what? Passed over. Verse 25, passed over. And now he gets to the church age and we're down here. Jesus has gone to the cross. The penalty's been paid. And now he takes the throttle and goes, whoa! He shows it as far forward as it can go. It's go at throttle up. For example, on the space shuttle that blew up. Go at throttle up. 110% power. And then that one went boom. But this is God going boom. And that's the church age. Because suddenly now there's no reason to be, we don't have a nation to deal with. We can have any nation. Comprised of his people, the church, and they can be anywhere. They don't have to be tied to any of this, any specific line of prophecy. There's no prophecy. It's whoa, full power. All the afterburners come on. Everything is lit up on the back end of this thing. with God's power. And we church age people aren't even taking advantage of it. That's what's so sad, because we don't understand what we got. It's full power. The power of God for salvation. The gospel is the issue here. And it's because of the way that he solved this problem in this verse. So, God's justice is the number one priority. His relationship with mankind. That means that God's justice must not be compromised by establishing a relationship with mankind. We talked about that. That's the cross. That's how he can justify the ungodly without being ungodly himself. Because the sins were all judged. The cross accomplishes this fact because God's justice judged all sins in the past, present, and future when they were poured out on Jesus Christ. So sin's not an issue. See, the devil, one of the devil's ace trumps. Think about it. The equations. Sin is a transgression of the law. Well, who's the biggest law keeper in the world? Self-righteous one. The devil. He loves the law because it condemns people. Then you have the wages of sin is death. Well, who's wanting to kill everybody? The devil. So, the law and sin all play into the devil's hand. They do. And so what does religion do? It yokes you to the law or some law and sin, basically. Why? Because they want to kill you. The devil does, and he runs the show. That's why it's that way. Now, God comes along with Jesus. He says, you're free. I took care of this. No sin is an issue. Now, later on it will become one, because you've got to get your head right. But meantime, you're going to heaven based on my son, Jesus. And that's what he did. Setting us free from all that. So we're not condemned. Can't be condemned. In fact, it says what? Jesus Christ is the end of the law for all who believe. That's one verse that says it. And then you have, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. Ooh. So the devil's hold over mankind is gone if they understand this. Because his hold is what? The law and sin and death. That's his hold. It's only hope, which he doesn't have because Jesus beat him. God beat him through Jesus. So, it was poured out on Christ. When Christ was bearing our sins on the cross, God's justice judged them all. While judging those sins on the cross, God's justice was protected from the compromise in providing justification to anyone who believes in Jesus. Anyone, including criminals and perverts, who believe in Jesus. Because God's justice pronounced the penalty of death that God's righteousness demands on Jesus. See, he paid that price. That's our Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love towards us. Now, that's our word integrity love, not just a sentimental love. In that while we were yet perverts and criminals, sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we understand the way this says it's substitutionary. He died in our place. So he got hit for the whole thing. And now God's righteousness is, or God's justice, see, it's not God's righteousness. God's justice is free to impute God's righteousness to the ungodly. Ooh. That is the ultimate coup de grace. God. The devil's whole argument is completely toast right there. Back to our verse. I'm going to switch over here. Back and 3:26. Boom. God's righteousness is satisfied with the judgment of man's sins in Christ, in Jesus on the cross. So it does not, its righteousness does not object when God's righteousness is imputed to everyone who believes in Jesus, regardless of their self-righteousness. In fact, self-righteous people are the worst, because they think they're good and they're not. And the justifier, our next phrase, the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. This is the essential use of the conjunction kai, and the present active participle of the verb dakaios, again, so it's our application of justification, meaning to vindicate, to justify, or to declare righteous. And of course, that's the status of anyone who believes in Jesus. The present tense is a customary present, denoting that what always occurs when anyone believes in Jesus Christ. It never varies, it's always the same. The active voice, God's justice, produces the action of the verb. God's justice justifies the person who believes in Jesus Christ. The participle is temporal and should even be translated even when he declares righteous or justifies. Even when. I like that. It's not just that he does it, but he does it even when it's a pervert and a criminal. Because that's what we all are. I mean, from God's perspective, at least. Next, the accusative masculine singular from the definite article, oh, the one, is used as a direct object. So, we'll pick up here next time because we've run out of time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study this passage and the incredible blessing it is to understand the principle going on here, how it completely frees us from our slavery to the devil through law-keeping and being scared of sin. The challenge simply is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then walk by means of the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, because that destroys the sin nature, which tempts us to go off track and follow the devil. Help us not to do that and to live in our freedom, because it is for freedom that you set us free. We ask this, thank you now, in Jesus' name, amen.